Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Marshalls, where you never have to compromise between quality and price. The buyers of Marshalls hustle hard, working to bring you great deals on brand name and designer pieces. Because Marshalls believes everyone deserves access to the good stuff. Visit a Marshalls store near you or shop online at marshalls.com.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here with 49ers Plus Minus co-host Matt Barrows from The Athletic. There have been some things going on today. There's some things going on tomorrow. So we did move up. We've been kind of doing a Thursday evening 49ers Plus Minus pod because that's kind of when we get the idea when the quarterback is going to be. And this season, that's in like every week. Move this to Wednesday because the Warriors openers tomorrow, home openers tomorrow. This also happened to be the day the Giants hired a new manager. Things are happening, Matt Barrows. I am being pulled in many different directions, but we made sure we did this show. Thank God. What else would we do? What else would we be doing on a Wednesday evening but recording a 49ers Plus Minus? So I can very honestly ask you, Matt Barrows, what went on today?
Well, I can't wait to read your story about the Sharks.
Yeah, where am I? Where is that?
Sharks, Stanford, you're gonna do it all. You're the Tyler Perry of the Bay Area sports scene. You just do a little bit of everything.
I would like that Tyler Perry paycheck. Why don't I get that? That's all I want. All right, Barrows. Well, I read the Shanahan transcript from today. It's all I did. Saw some of the social media stuff. Sounds like Brock Purdy is not headed towards starting on Sunday. Is that the headline from today, or are there some other ones?
Yeah, that and the fact that Ricky Pearsall still isn't back at practice. They thought that knee injury that came against the Cardinals in week three, that was going to be a quick return for him, and it has not. And he didn't even practice today. He was on a side field, a lot of guys on the side field. I saw Bryce Huff over there. Jake Brendel, the center, was over there. So all these guys are out for, it seems like, a couple of weeks, but not long-term injuries. But, yeah, Pearsall and Purdy, who trained all offseason together, have barely had any time to kind of put that to use during the regular season. And, you know, I think it all goes back to, for Purdy, the toe injury and it just being a very stubborn injury to get rid of. And anybody who heard turf toe back in week one or coming into week two kind of knew that was going to happen. And anybody who's been covering sports as long as we have covered an athlete who had a toe injury that just would not go away. Those things linger. And you think toe and you think, oh gosh, it's not a knee. It's not an elbow. It's not a critical part of the anatomy. It is. And, it takes a long time to recover. And, you know, I was talking to Diana Rossini the other day, and she said that he had a workout on Sunday before the Falcons game and came out of that not feeling all that great about the toe. They thought it was going to be, you know, a successful workout, something that sort of launched him toward starting this week in Houston, and it didn't feel great. And I think that's the nature of it. I think it's probably worse than what they initially thought it was, or maybe when he played against the Jaguars, it worsened. But it's obviously not healed yet. He still hasn't practiced in full. Shanahan did say that it's getting better marginally, but it's hard to see it getting better enough for him to play against the Texans.
Yeah, I know Shanahan was asked about this specifically, whether the artificial surface leads anything into any direction on the decision. He said no, but I got the sneaking suspicion they didn't like these two back-to-back artificial surface games coming up, Houston and then New York the week after. Houston is against maybe the best defense in football, D'Amico Ryans, everyone knows. I'm sure they'll never admit it, but I think that might be a reason to be a little safer side on this one. Two, I sort of wonder, is Shanahan doing a little deke at D'Amico? Like, is he going to make sure D'Amico isn't sure who the quarterback's going to be? These guys have been known to do, and not just Shanahan and D'Amico. It's like all these guys from the Shanahan tree. They're buddies. We saw how much, you know, Shanahan and Raheem Morris were just buddying it up before the game, which Kyle does not do very often. And what did Kyle want to do? He wanted to shove the ball down his, you know, defense, right? That's all he wanted to do, was kill that defense because they're competitive. I wonder, I'd be curious if there's a little bit element of just throwing this out there to make sure D'Amico's seeing it. And the third one is, very obviously, but let's just say it, they're winning. You don't have to push Brock Purdy out there if there's any chance of making it worse. And maybe there's a partial admission that he probably shouldn't have played against Jacksonville. You know, it certainly he didn't play great, probably aggravated it. The reason why the toe keeps getting aggravated is because you have to use your toe on everything you do. When you push off, you're using your toe. When you're turning, you're using your toe. It just is a very, very, you know, pliable thing that you're going to be turning and twisting on your toe. So I just wonder about all those things. I like the conspiracy aspect more than anything, of course. I love the conspiracy stuff. I just wonder if there's a little strategic thing to this, or they're just going to play it straight. Are they going to play it straight all the way through this injury, Barros? They've been pretty straight about it.
Yeah, they have been.
He doesn't play. I just wonder if there might be a little subterfuge. That's just me, but I do think it's smart. You're 5-2. Houston's got some rock'em sock'em guys. You know, Will Anderson. They just got guys. You're playing on artificial surface. Do you need to play him back-to-back? Hey, I wouldn't put it past them, even if they lose on Sunday, for him not to play against the Giants, just to make sure he's not putting that toe on that terrible MetLife turf. Although we're hearing the owners say how great that turf is. Jeff Miller, head of security, whatever, medical, saying, oh, it's one of our best surfaces. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and have your football game? You play Jeff on that field. You go play it. You try to cut and avoid 290 pounders on that turf. It just is silly to me, but that's the NFL. What do you say about the artificial surface issue with Brock Purdy?
I think, well, the 49ers have said that the surface doesn't matter, that the only way he could aggravate it, this is what they said going into week four, is that if he somehow got tackled in the exact same manner that he did in Seattle in week one. And lo and behold, that happened in the Jaguars game.
On the grass.
So it's basically the idea that you are flexed, your toe is pressed against the ground while you're being tackled. So you have your weight plus another 200-pound man's weight on it, and that causes the flexion to, you know, cause the injury to be aggravated. But, you know, if indeed he practiced or worked out on Sunday, there wasn't any tackling involved in that. And if he didn't feel good after it, if there was still pain in the toe, then other things are causing discomfort too. Throwing, running, taking off, accelerating, stopping, all the things that make Brock Purdy Brock Purdy. I think that a bad toe compromises. And I think that's part of it. I mean, you don't want to put a quarterback out there that can't use his best resources. And you don't want this to become a 18-week injury. And so I think they're going to try to wait for it to go away entirely or as close to entirely as they can. And I have no idea what week that means. I mean, people are now circling the week 10 game against the Rams because it is at home. He doesn't have to get on a plane, doesn't have to deal with the flight and the swelling and everything that goes with it. So that may be the best guess at this point, but it doesn't look like this week for Brock Purdy. It doesn't look like this week for Ricky Pearsall. And it's another week where you might want to take the under.
Betting tips. Well, that was your betting tip of the week by Matt Barrow.
Well, it's just, you know, both teams. I mean, Texans today practiced without Nico Collins. He had a concussion. And they've been without Christian Kirk, their other receiver, for a big chunk of the season. He's got a hamstring. So evidence, 49ers fans, that other teams get hamstring strains as well. Maybe not to the degree that the 49ers have had them. That's been their injury du jour for 2025, or du annum, whatever the French is for.
What are you saying here?
For a year. You know, last year it was the calf. This year it's hamstring.
I noticed Yamadou Lenore popped up on the injury report. That was a knee, I think, that Shanahan said.
Quad.
That cannot make 49er fans feel great. He's been, you know, a stalwart on that defense when they don't have many veterans who have kind of been there the whole time. Did not practice today. Is that what they're saying, or was it limited?
He did not practice. He also was on the side field, and Shanahan was asked. So on Wednesday, Shanahan has the press conference before the practice, and he tells us, okay, Diamador Lenore isn't going to practice. Brock Purdy is going to be limited, et cetera, et cetera. He was asked if he thought that, you know, whether Lenore's injury was a long-term thing, that he'd missed multiple practices this week. And at first he said, I hope that he practices on Thursday. And then he said something like he expects him to practice on Thursday. So we'll see. I did watch him running on a side field. He did not look spry by any stretch of the imagination. And maybe he just needed to warm it up and get warm. And then the leg becomes a little bit looser. But from what I was seeing, he did not seem like a guy who was going to practice on Thursday. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm qualifying it as much as I can. Upton Stout is also, he was limited in practice with the ankle injury that kept him out of the Falcons game on Sunday. So they're light at cornerback going into this game. Luckily, the Texans are light at wide receivers, so they might cancel each other out. But it would bring up a question about who else is up on game day. They've got Eli Apple, the veteran who's on the practice squad. They could elevate him. Derek Canteen is a guy that they like, young guy, rookie. He's probably more in the role of being a special teamer, so that somebody who's been playing special teams, like a Ceron Neal, doesn't have to play quite as much if they need to him to play on defense.
And this is Renardo Green is out, correct? I mean, am I wrong?
No, he was back. Oh, he was back. Limited. Wow. He was limited. He's got a toe, another toe injury. But he was out there. He looked like he was okay. I think he's going to play, but he's not 100%. And I should add that the defensive line, which has been banged up from jump as far back as training camp, you know, obviously no Bryce Huff, obviously no Nick Bosa. You know the list by now, but just looking at the guys, and I'm hoping that we can run a video for the YouTube watchers. You know, if you study each of those guys, you know, one guy's got a club on his hand. Another guy's got a big bandage on his wrist. That's Mykal Williams. Alfred Collins has a big contraption brace on his knee. CJ West has a broken thumb. I mean, they're there. They're practicing. They're playing. But they're by no means healthy. So everybody on that defensive line, it seems like, has been dealing with something. So that's just something to keep in mind. Like there's a lot of wear and tear on this team beyond the guys whose names that you're reading on the report.
Well, they brought up Robert Beal. I don't know how many times he can go back up and down, up and down, up and down. Like they are running into limits on how many elevations they can make. I'm sure they could just cut him and I guess restart the count. But it feels like Robert Beal is going to have to play, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean Okawanu, and then I'm just kind of like I'm not quite sure. Travis Gibson, who was on the practice squad, who still, I guess, still is, and he's going to get elevated. Like they're just talking about guys who've been cut, who've been bouncing around, who are now like going to play major roles in this game.
Yeah, I think they're playing a game with Gibson and Beal because Beal had been on the practice squad and Gibson had been on the 53-man roster for this last game. And basically today they reversed them. So they had to release Gibson. He had to go through, you know, be available. He doesn't have to go through waivers because he's a veteran. And then they re-signed him to the practice squad. So my assumption is that his count for elevations restarts again. And I guess they're going to try to do that ad infinitum. I mean, they could keep doing it over and over again throughout the season as long as nobody claims Beal off of waivers. He would have to be waived, be subject to waivers, and then somebody could snap him up. I don't think anybody's going to snap him up with that one sack in 3 years stat line that he has.
So no, he's important to them. I mean, maybe
you're probably safe.
If you're the opponent, won't you just go, hey, you know what? You want to come play for us for 2 weeks and you don't have the 49ers, don't have a defensive end? I mean, I could see a Belichick or someone. He would have to do it for North Carolina at this point, which he probably wouldn't. But like that kind of coach is like, man, this is going to be interesting. We just grab their third defensive end that they're planning to play against us.
But both of those guys are making 53-man roster money. When you get elevated from the practice squad, you make, you know, a regular salary for that week. So, I mean, I assume that Gibson's going to be elevated against the Texans, and he's probably going to, you know, play 12 snaps or whatever he plays. So, yeah, both of those guys are going to have to play more. I would think that the DN starters are now, they've been Okawanu and Mykal Williams with Huff getting the most snaps of any defensive lineman. That may be why he strained his hamstring. It's just more work than what he was training for, what they expected from him. Another reason for making a trade. We always seem to get to trade. It's just it. When you lose that many guys, everybody has to either work, you know, get more snaps than what they plan for or play out of position. So if you do the trade, then you can sort of shift everybody back into their original roles. So that would be probably a big benefit, certainly for somebody like Bryce Huff.
I'll just make my weekly mention of Leonard Floyd. Everyone gets mad, but it was a guy who stayed healthy. You could put in there. It's part of the depth. They decided they didn't need him because they want to save money. End of story. Yeah, I mean, I think just from what I'm looking at, it looks like Shanahan is kind of more, at least publicly, entertaining the trade thing. I mean, not like the big, big time Trey Hendrickson. I don't know if that's going to happen, although you still see his name connected to the 49ers. I just don't think the Bengals are going to trade him. And I don't think 49ers are, and I think more than anything, practically the Bengals are taking that position because they're going to have to get knocked over with an offer for Trey Hendrickson. The 49ers are not going to do it because he's going to be a $30 million player next year and they're not going to keep him. And so you're renting him. And what do you give up for that? Okay. But that to the side, seems like Shanahan is like expressing some, like, you know, could happen, whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading that, but John Lynch certainly has throwing, you know, it's certainly an option. Certainly some things they look at. They're probably going to trade.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Something, right? I mean, again, I don't think it's going to be a top 100 pick or even a top 150 pick, but I could see them the fifth round, sixth round with guys on terrible teams who still have talent. That Jalen Phillips is interesting to me. From Miami, just seems to kind of be that lanky defensive end that they like, who can play the run too. They don't necessarily like strictly pass rushers. They don't like the 240-pounders, like 260, 270, 280 length. You know, can you get them for a fifth round pick? That's kind of where I see them headed to this. The team is good enough where another defensive end sure could help out. And you don't, if you're given a fifth round pick, you're not sad. You know, you're not bowled over if you don't re-sign them. Maybe you can. Like I mentioned, the Chase Young. And who was the other guy they got? The other defensive end they got that year?
Randy Gregory.
Randy Gregory, yeah, who's no good and kind of a goofy guy. But I could see something in that realm, maybe not so high as a Chase Young, maybe not so low as a Randy Gregory, but there's a move to be made, and I think it's worth it. I think, you know, trying to get to 11 or 12 wins instead of 10 is really has value, and a pretty decent defensive end who isn't a superstar has value, and I could see, I could really see it. I would be surprised at this point if they don't acquire a defensive end at some point.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
So good, so good, so good.
New markdowns are on at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save even more, up to 70% on dresses, tops, boots, and handbags to give and get.
Because I always find something amazing.
Just so many good brands.
I get an extra 5% off with my Nordstrom credit card. Total queen treatment.
Join the Nordy Club at Nordstrom Rack to unlock our best deals. Big gifts, big perks. That's why you rack.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast, smart move. Being financially savvy, smart move. Another smart move, having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Everything feels a bit uncertain right now.
A few months ago, you never would have expected eggs being factored into your monthly budget. New sources of stress equal more opportunities for breakouts to strike. Luckily, Mighty Patch Original shrinks the look of pimples in just one use. We'd say that's a pretty good deal. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
Your team, adjective. Used to describe an individual whose spirit is unyielding, unconstrained, one who navigates life on their own terms, effortlessly. They do not always show up on time, but when they arrive, you notice an individual confident in their contradictions. They know the rules, but behave as if they do not exist. New team, the new fragrance by Miu Miu, defined by you.
I agree with you. I mean, look at the bad teams. Look at the teams that seem to be playing ball. You got your Titans, your Saints, your Jets, and your Dolphins. You know, so three AFC teams. AFC teams have no qualms about doing deals with NFC teams. And each of those has a guy that you could make an argument for. Arden Key with the Titans. I've talked about him a lot. He just makes so much sense because he could come in and help you on Sunday. He made the trade today. You just fly him over and he's in uniform, or just, you don't even have to fly him over. Just fly him to Houston.
Drive him to Houston.
Half the trip right there. The Saints have several guys. I don't think that the 49ers would be interested in Chase Young part two.
No.
Given that Chase Young part one wasn't a smash hit here. They've got Granderson, who I think is really good. And then Cameron Jordan to me is interesting. Last year, the whole idea, who's the guy on, he was with Miami last year. He's on the Cardinals now, Calais Campbell. Mm-hmm. The whole, reframe was free Calais Campbell from a bad Dolphins team and bring him to the 49ers. That would be the case with Cam Jordan as well. And, you know, just savvy veteran guy. It's a young defense. They could use a veteran. You could make that argument that he would provide some of that kind of gray hair that Bosa was giving them that they don't have anymore. Then the Jets have Jermaine Johnson, who's not a household name, but he's somebody that's familiar to Robert Saleh, and I've been told that Saleh likes him. A lot of ex-Jets on this roster right now, people who played for Saleh, people who have coached with Saleh. And then the Dolphins, you mentioned Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb would be the other possible Dolphin. And Chubb would be a lot like Cameron Jordan, I think. Just a guy who's been in the league, who's consistent. You know what you're getting and can sort of anchor a very, very young defensive line.
Yeah, it's very 49er to do something. Again, you know, you don't have to break the bank. You don't have to go great. And I mean, listen, if they did, I'd certainly be writing about it, and I'd probably applaud them for it. But doesn't seem to be the right fit. The right fit with Trey Hendrickson, and if the Bengals are going to ask for a high two, or you know, a two and a three, the 49ers aren't not doing that. And I understand that at this in this practical world. But you know, they're going to get hungry for it. I just think Shanahan and Lynch are just going to be in that. We could just use somebody right here. And maybe the larger picture is, if without Bosa, without Warner, are you going to Super Bowl? That's, you know, is it a zero-sum game? Either get to the Super Bowl or don't. Not okay, but also just give yourself a better shot. One more piece that you know you can plug in there, and you're not throwing in Travis Gibson in, you know, against the Rams in the fourth quarter, and you're telling him you got to go get the quarterback. So we'll keep talking about it. It's coming up, not too far away now. But they also can say, hey, listen, what other injuries are we going to get? And that's fair in my world, exactly the way I say it. You don't know who's going to be healthy there. You are never, ever fully healthy in an NFL season. And they get one every week, Barros. Like, you can't go a week without losing a front.
They don't get one. They get multiple. Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is who knows who they'll lose the next time and the next time. But I will say, if they have Christian McCaffrey, maybe not this week, because those Texans are tough. But, man, that offense is going to go when you have number 23. This guy, we talked about it after game, but maybe the most essential player on this team, as long as Shanahan's coaching and calling plays, because he can get McCaffrey the ball. He's going to break off runs eventually. He ran for 129 yards last week in a breakout running game, but without really a home run hit. You just see this play out, and he's been there, the guy who holds us all up, at least offensively. When they didn't have him last year, it all broke apart. I think that's a pretty interesting way to look at the value that Christian McCaffrey has overall in the league and specifically to this moment for the 49ers.
Yeah, if last year was marked by Christian McCaffrey's absence, this year is marked by the absence of everybody else and having Christian McCaffrey around for the first seven games. He's been everything. He's been I think he leads the league in touches. I think he's like something like third in targets, mm-hmm. passing targets, and he's a running back. Like the next guy down, I think, is the Dolphins running back, Sean, and he's got something like 30 fewer targets than Christian McCaffrey. So he's everything to them. He's their top wide receiver right now, and he's their top running back. And he's facing somebody in D'Amico Ryans who knows how to kind of take that away and obviously appreciates it. Ryans was here when the 49ers traded for Christian McCaffrey in 22. So this will be a fun game to watch to see what they do. You know, I don't think that there's a lot of great linebackers out there. I think that's a league issue. You know, guys like Kyle Shanahan make their living off of exploiting those linebackers. The Texans are one of the few teams because, you know, they have D'Amico Ryans, the next linebacker, next 49er, and B, because they have Azeez Al-Shaair, who played for the 49ers, who have done a good job developing these guys. So if any team can take Christian McCaffrey away or at least minimize him, I would think it's the Texans, and it'll be interesting to see whether McCaffrey's streak of 100-yard combined games, which you know he's done every year, every game so far this year, 200 against the Falcons on Sunday, continues against the Texans. That'll be my kind of litmus test as to whether the 49ers win this game.
I think it's going to be tough. And I know I shocked you with my positivity about the 49ers' chances against Atlanta. Correctly. I am thinking this is going to be a really tough one for the 49ers. And we saw some Texans are down. They played, you know, they're going to have a short week, travel. They look horrendous offensively. D'Amico had to answer questions about firing his offensive coordinator. I think rightly so, because they do look terrible offensively. But Seattle's tough. Defensively, you know, 49ers didn't go up and down the field, especially there. I think the Texans obviously are going up against a wounded 49er defense that played very well, but I think the Falcons I just like that matchup for the 49ers. I said it last show. I just thought it was a good matchup, both sides for the 49ers. I don't know that Houston is offensively, you know, they're not a great match for any, you know, Houston's not setting the world on fire against anybody, especially if Nico Collins is out, but they can manage. Can they manage 17 points? Then I think it's going to be really hard for the 49ers to get to 17 points, two touchdowns or whatever it's going to take. That defense is fantastic. I think they're pissed off. They're going to be back at home. The 49ers, if they don't have Pearsall, won't have the weapons. They'll have Kittle, who was back last week, but it's going to be real. There's going to be one coordinator that's not going to give up all those short passes to Christian McCaffrey, right? I mean, we've been watching week after week going, why are they? I was sitting next to you in Atlanta. I'm like, what are they doing? They're putting a linebacker just staring Christian McCaffrey up face to face. Christian McCaffrey, okay, fake left, go right. I mean, it's just not that hard. Just can't see D'Amico doing that. I know I look at this so often through the Vic Fangio lens because I watched his defense so much. He would never let those passes go through. If you're going to get them, you're getting them for 5 yards. You're not getting them for 11. You're not getting them for 13. I just see the Houston Texans defense figuring things out, rock, you know, hitting hard. They're physical. What did Shanahan love about this matchup against the Falcons? Kittle said it. They're lighter. They're smaller. We could run on them. That's not Houston Texans. So I think this is going to be a very difficult game, Barrows. I will go ahead and say it. I think 49ers is going to lose. It's going to be close game. I think it's going to be a tough game. But because I have this credibility of being Mr. 49er from last week, Mr. Positivity, I can cash in some of my chips and say, I think this one's going to be a lot tougher. Just a different sort of matchup. I think the 49ers love going against finesse teams, Atlanta's a finesse team. Even with Bijan Robinson on offense, they just turned into that against the 49ers. I think the Texans are a physical, tough team, and D'Amico Ryans is going to have stuff coming at them on defense that at this point the 49ers may not be equipped to handle.
Yeah, I see it that way too. I think the ideal scenario for the 49ers would have been if, you know, the Texans had gone into Seattle and won.
Yep.
In an emotional game, something, you know, that came down to the end, and then they go back to Houston feeling good about themselves, and the 49ers can come in and sort of do the surprise that they did against the Rams and against the Falcons. But you're right. I think that this is a circle the wagon games for the Texans. I think it's a pride game for D'Amico Ryans. I think that you're seeing all this McCaffrey hype this week. You're seeing a lot of Shanahan hype this week. People are talking about, oh, he's coach of the year candidate. Look what he's doing with this banged up roster. And all of it's true, but it's the sort of thing that emotionally an opponent can really easily seize on. And you know, when it's only Christian McCaffrey on the team, you can strategically do that as well. We'll see. But I agree with you that this team does seem more equipped to handle him than maybe some other opponents. The linebackers are better. Like I said, I think D'Amico Ryans is going to have them whipped up. It's a 10 o'clock start body clockwise for the 49ers. That's a disadvantage for them as well. So we'll see. I mean, if McCaffrey gets 132 yards, and if the 49ers win, then, you know, offensive player of the year and coach of the year, I think all of a sudden are very much on the table for those two guys that I just mentioned.
No question. MVP for, you know, we were talking about McCaffrey as MVP.
Oh, it has to be a quarterback. Yeah, yeah. It has to be a quarterback.
I'll wish McCaffrey out there. He is in some ways having a better year than 2023, not touchdowns. 2023 was just this crazy touchdown season for him and long runs. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, those stats were better. But this year, the touches, the efficiency, just those receptions. He's like on par to go like 1,400 receiving yards. I don't think he's going to get there, but like that's amazing. It's been an amazing year given everything else around him, given that he's basically working with a second string quarterback. It has been I thought so even before the big game on Sunday night. I just felt that he was just fine, and he certainly produced the big numbers, and he's still due for that 70-yard touchdown run that we have not seen yet. But he's on it. You know, I know it has to be quarterback, and we got a lot of good quarterbacks. But can he dare beat out Daniel Jones for MVP? I don't know. Is it possible to beat out Daniel Jones for MVP? It's been an incredible season for McCaffrey, and I think he really feels it because after last season was so rough. And, you know, had a lot of people questioning is, you know, is he ever going to come back to that speed again that we saw in 2023? Well, we're seeing toughness out of him. And that's when I remember when he was traded to the 49ers. That's what I heard from the 49er people was because remember they'd played him 2 weeks before.
Right.
And they're like, this guy runs tough. Like they wouldn't want him if he's just a scat back who only hits the home runs and does not get the 4 yard runs on third and two. Like this guy was like, there was like, he's tough, as tough to tackle inside as anybody. I think Fred might've told me that. Somebody like told me that. It's like, this guy is a difficult running back to tackle and he breaks it loose. So I didn't realize I was going to turn this into a Christian McCaffrey MVP podcast, but why not?
It'll be popular. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else you want to say about this one?
Well, only that you mentioned that the 2023 season for Christian McCaffrey, special season. He had, you know, Brandon Ayuk had a special season. Debo Samuel was healthy. George Kittle was healthy. Brock Purdy was healthy. This year is more like his Carolina days in terms of the caliber of talent around him. And I do remember that game in Carolina that the 49ers played before the trade. Blowout game. Tons of 49ers fans in the stands. And Christian McCaffrey was the only thing that the Panthers had. I think that, you know, a big difference this year is that he's got a better guy calling the plays, drawing up the plays, and, you know, he doesn't have the starting quarterback, but he's got somebody who's starter worthy in Mac Jones and who understands the offense and understands that, you know, we can matriculate the ball up and down the field if I just dump it off to this guy, if he's matched up against this slowish middle linebacker. So everything's worked out. This will be a fun game to watch, a really fun game to watch for the Christian McCaffrey versus D'Amico Ryan / Aziz matchup that we're going to see. That's probably going to be the highlight of this game.
What did Mac Jones say? I just want to throw it to Christian every time. I mean, I mean, why wouldn't you? But I just, the Rams were not aware of this. The Falcons did not seem to be aware of this. I'm pretty sure D'Amico Ryans and Aziz Alshire are going to be aware of this. Now let's see if maybe they can't stop it. Maybe you just can't do it. I have a feeling they're going to be lined up and be the best, you know, they'll give the best challenge to the 49ers, just throw it to Christian every time offense. And maybe Shanahan will pull out something and you think we're going to throw it to Christian? We're throwing it to receiver unknown at this point. Kendrick Bourne.
Hey, big Sky Moore game coming up.
DeMarcus Robinson, who I got people really mad at me.
You had DeMarcus Robinson off the roster.
What is going on with everybody? You have not seen what he's done this season. It's not been much. That's okay. You want to fight? Everyone wants to fight. Maybe he'll have 6 catches for 210 yards, including 280-yard touchdowns on Sunday. More power to him if he does. If he does, I certainly will praise him, and I eagerly await that happening. All right, Barros, we did it. There might be a Barros solo show. We got plenty of room for one now, so see how I'm leaving these openings for Barros to just jump into it.
I was supposed to do a solo cast today, but Tim didn't want to see my solo career take off, so he insisted.
We got to do it. It's not the Warrior game tomorrow. I got to block Barros.
Exactly.
On the ensuing Barros era.
I'm Cher. He's Sonny, and he's trying to kind of snuff out my solo career.
I'm Greg Allman is what I am. All right, everybody. There will be a Barros
angel.
Long-awaited solo pod either Thursday or Friday. I eagerly waited. I love them mostly because I'm not doing anything during them. So go all power to Barros, and we'll get all back to you also after the game on Sunday for a full show. Everybody, see ya.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu?
Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera! They see us!
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.